Radio Gorgeous, the sexist station, where you'll only hear the female voice.
We live in a constantly changing world, but one thing that we've been able to count on as Brits for the last 61 years is that The Archers is on at 7, and if you missed that, again at 2 the following day. We met with 4 of the wonderful women of The Archers at the WOW Festival this year. Here they are.
You've been the editor of The Archers for over 20 years.
I know. It's frightening to think that, really, because it creeps up on you. You know,
yes, exactly.
It's job I enjoy, and so I seem to be here a long time, yes.
Fantastic. And as a woman, you know, I mean, that puts you in a very powerful position.
Yeah, in a way it does. But you're a conductor. You know, you conduct 10 or 12 writers every month. And, of course, they're also powerful and interesting. And so my job is really one of sort of tossing in ideas, but very much blending and selecting the ideas of other people as well. So, yes, it's run democratically and organically, if you'll excuse the agricultural pun, but it's organic. But at the end of the day, the buck does stop with me. And if there's a kind of an on pass, yes, I break through it and I say, come on, let's go there, let's do that with the storyline. So it's an interesting power. It's not a kind of isolationist power. It's not a kind of dictatorship. Yeah.
Well, I was also very glad to hear that, you know, our licensing fees are being used very responsibly. One of the things that that there's very strict guidelines for your writers.
Yes,
in terms of how many actors they can use.
Yes, financial guidelines, absolutely. I mean, they have to be creative within constraints because we have budgets like everybody else. It's your money, the public's money. They can be very creative, though, because, for example, if you're allowed 6 or 7 actors per episode, if you want an episode with a party in it and say you want 10 or 12 actors, that's fine, but then you've got to have an episode which has only got sort of 4 actors or 5 in order that you hit a target at the end of every week.
So you're here at the WOW Festival,
yeah.
And one of the points was, you know, is The Archers feminist? And you said no.
Because we can't be an issue. Thereby lies bad drama. You know, if you start with an issue. There's an awful lot of strong women in it, and I'm sure there's an awful lot of feminists in it and around the table. And, you know, I think I'm probably a feminist, but I've met some lovely men who are feminists too, so it's an attitude of mind, that, isn't it?
But it's also reflective of
society. Yeah, it's reflective of society, and you know, there's all sorts of things. We are agriculturalists. Some stories we can end up being, through our characters, being sexist, you know. Mm-hmm. It depends on the drama. It depends what we're doing at any one time.
Hello, I'm Pat Gallimore, who's Pat Archer.
On the longest-running serial, The Archers.
Yes, indeed.
One of the things that people are talking, because you've played Pat Archer for 39 years.
I have, yes.
Fantastic. Great gig. How do you separate Pat's life from your life? It's sort of like living in a parallel universe.
Well, it is, but don't forget, we do actually only record 6 days out of a month, and so you go away and you live your life, and then you come back again, and next week we're recording. So, you know, for the next few days, I'm putting on my Pat Archer dungarees and wellies, and I'm Pat Archer in the studio. But it's what we do, and as I said, because Gillian asked me, you know, the length of our contract, we are contracted by the episode, so we all go away and do other things. We have to do other work, we have families, we have our own. That's my real daughter and my real husband.
So
we do live a parallel life, I suppose. Yes.
Well, your husband seems much less whiny than Tony.
Oh, yes. And she's much less neurotic than Helen.
Mary Cutler.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Donna from Radio Gorgeous.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi.
So you've been a writer on The Archers for...
Yes, 34 years.
34 years.
Yes, that's right.
Great gig.
Yes, it is indeed.
You talked to the audience about the process that the writers go through, and it's a very consensual, you know, democratic,
debated and considered process.
And then you go off and you get to do it yourself.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a wonderful combination of the two. Because you can often have, I think, I don't feel I'm particularly strong on plot. I've done some good ones. But if we start a plot off, sometimes I can have some good ideas for it. And that's the exciting thing about working together, that we all do it together. And I actually think that's why it's lasted for such a long time. It's because so many creative people have had an input into it. It's not just a question of, you know, as we've said, the actors give so much, and the writers and the production team as well. And so you get this very rich blend of things, I think.
If plot isn't your gig, you're apparently the Widowmaker. You killed Nigel.
I did kill Nigel, yeah, but as I said,
and several
it was
others.
Just, yes, I think I wrote Mark's funeral as well. You're right about it. Yes, I do.
Do the men get nervous when they see you? Oh, no, Mary wrote this episode. I'm a goner.
Oh, I never thought about that. No, I don't think they do. No.
I won't ask you to give us any tidbits of things coming up, because obviously you know what's happening, because this is planned, as you were saying,
yes,
3 months
absolutely.
In advance.
Absolutely. No. I'm not allowed to. I kind of sign a sort of official Archer's Secret Act. But actually, people... they think they want to know, but they don't.
No.
And I think the listeners often... I've often had this experience where that people will say, oh, I know where you're going with this story, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And I'm like, no, those would have been really good ideas.
I wish I'd talked to you a while ago.
Exactly.
Where were you 3 months ago
exactly.
when I needed this?
But actually, we're not doing that. And I think that's part of the pleasure. They kind of make their own little arches up as it goes along. Yes.
I am speaking with Felicity Finch. For those of you who don't know, she plays Ruth Archer on The Archers. We're here at the WOW Festival, and you're part of the Archer Charabang to the WOW Festival. And the question was asked to the panel whether, you know, the Archers has any relationship to feminism. And the editor said no.
Well, I mean, I don't quite know what the answer meant. I think it's because it came fairly late in the session, and there wasn't time to go into it in great detail. But, you know, I think the Archers has got a variety, a real cross-section of women in it, as life does. It reflects life. It reflects the women you would find in a village, you know, in the UK.
Anywhere in Ambridge.
Yeah, anywhere Ambridge, absolutely. I think that there are several very strong women in Ambridge, and Ruth, I think, is one of them. The interesting thing about the Archers is that people are not going to, you know, the writers and the production team are not going to create a character saying, this character is going to be the greatest... well, they could, actually. I'm telling a lie here. They could decide that a character is going to be a feminist. In fact, Pat Archer, who we heard from today, was originally brought in as a very strong-minded, political, inverted commas, politically-minded woman. But, you know, the other women, including Ruth, you know, talking about my own character, I would say, even though I don't think it's ever the word feminist I have never uttered, that in no way means that Ruth is not a feminist. In fact, the opposite. Ruth is a feminist.
Yes.
You know,
In practice.
So we're not judging on whether those conversations happen. If you're reflecting life, then there are women in Ambridge who are feminists. No doubt about it. I have a great friend in Ambridge, Usha. She's a feminist. I would say a lot of the women are. Some of them might quibble about using somebody like... what's her name? Jennifer Aldridge. She might say, oh, I don't know about using that name.
Yeah.
But her actions are of a feminist. So it's like life. I think it's ridiculous, actually, to say no, it's got nothing to do with feminism. What I would say is that there are lots of strong women there, but that's not when you're creating characters. You're not saying, is she a feminist? You're creating real people.
You were speaking just now as Ruth. You know, my friend Usha. And how must that be? It's like having a parallel life.
Well, I think as an actor, you're playing lots of different characters. So that putting on the coat of the character is a normal thing to be able to do. But, you know, if a life of a play could be 2 months, or it could be a year if you're touring with a play. with the arches, you're right, you know, it is something different because it's a weird thing because you're growing over the years with the character. You're getting older, the character's getting older. You know, in my case, Ruth got married, Ruth has got three children, I'm not married and I don't have any children. And, you know, sometimes I call them my surrogate family. But I think, really, the overall answer is that it is a privilege to play a character for years and years and years.
And the writers have helped you develop that character, but you've had such input into Ruth's character as well.
Yeah, I think what happens is that when I first joined the programme, you can see what sort of a character they are initially creating. Mm-hmm. So you're finding those parts of yourself. You know, she's a very strong, determined, feisty, and for many years she probably would be a bit over-direct, which I'd say I'm probably not. So you're kind of pushing to find the character within yourself. Mm-hmm. Let's put it like that. But there was something you just said about... Oh, but no, I think another aspect that's interesting is that when Ruth had breast cancer in 2000, yeah, it was in 2000, that was a sort of mellowing of the character in some ways. Because then
some
it
of that
became
brashness
that, yeah,
softened.
That life and death thing, you know, that I think that she kind of would then take things a little bit more easily in terms of not getting so aerated about things. And quite often when David uses it, Ruth would be the voice of calm now.
Yes.
And I think that is a legacy from something as huge as that happening in your life. I mean, I feel it's an amazing thing to be able to, I mean, that whole storyline, I talked to women who had breast cancer about their experiences. Three women I spoke to at the beginning, and every time I got scripts each month, I would talk to them about their experiences at that point in the process of... Huge responsibility to all you want to do is to be believable, to be truthful, so to find that within yourself. And also, there is an element in a story like that of it being educational, which isn't why the story's done at all. No story in the Arches now, so I was an education program years ago for farmers, but that ceased decades ago.
Yeah, that was the original mission.
Yeah, but in order to remain relevant to listeners, it's dealing with the big things that happen to us in everyday life, but also the research that goes into any storyline, be it the breast cancer storyline, be it the rape that Kathy went through, be it anorexia, be it depression, be it the Down syndrome story at the moment, you know, all of the research that goes into it to make sure that they're completely accurate and anything medical will be prescription. So, you know, it's a very... strong and reliable process, and so as an actor you can believe everything you're saying that's right.
Follow us on Twitter, radio_gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
One of the things that came up through your education through entertainment was something that you've been involved in bringing these sort of daily serial type stories to other countries, Rwanda, Afghanistan. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I was at the launch of the radio soap in Rwanda back in 1998. And the extraordinary thing about that was that the radio was used as a propaganda tool during the genocide. And on one of the stations, Radio Meal Colleen, it was called, they would actually be putting out propaganda messages saying, kill a cockroach today, and a cockroach was a Tutsi. And they would give the names and the addresses of people that should be killed. So radio was a medium that was mistrusted. I mean, almost a million people, or up to a million, the number is not precise, but it's always quoted to be up to a million people who were killed during the genocide, most of them Tutsis and some moderate Hutus. So radio was incredibly mistrusted at that time, 4 years on from the genocide in 1994. So the team making the programme were taking on a huge project. It was a huge undertaking to try to get a radio drama, a radio soap on air, and using the Arches as its model. But they started it and it's become incredibly successful. It's still going to this day and it's used to get across important information, never telling the listener what to do, just creating strong stories, strong characters, and the listener's left to make up their own mind about issues to do with health, to do with
domestic violence, to do with property disputes, to do with, even now, they're dealing with very sensitive stories, to do with incest even, which was not recognised as existing in Rwandan society, and child abuse and those kinds of issues. So these are all, you know, very strong. There is a young student called Agnes who every April she goes through a trauma, which that is the anniversary of the genocide, the start of the genocide. And for that to happen, that character was able a few years ago to come into being, they would never have been able to do that at the beginning, to even mention genocide and being as connected to it. So she is reflecting what happens to many people across the country, that they go through a month of trauma still at that time. So it's incredibly powerful, but it also has humour in it, of course. It has to in order to appeal.
It has to be. Yeah.
So they have their very own, they have a character called Bushombi, who's a cross between Linda Snell and Eddie Grundy, if you can imagine. So it's the village gossip. The village gossip and the lovable rogue all rolled into one, and you know, and he's a wonderful character. And they also
don't
have
tell them a secret.
No, don't tell them a secret. And they have conventions in villages across the country where actors and writers and producers will be, and they can attract as many as 10,000 people. So it has, you know, but millions listening to it.
And it just shows an example of, if you run into this, this is one way of dealing with it. Sort of showing by example.
Well, people could choose that different characters in a storyline will be giving different views, but it will be clear, which is, you know, not without telling people what to do, which is a more positive outcome of the story. So it will be clear which probably is the way to go. So it's about people deciding that they will change attitudes, change behaviour. There are several of these programmes across the world for which The Archers has been the model. I mean, another one that I visited and trained actors and directors on and made documentaries about, as I have about the Rwandan one, is in Afghanistan. There is a radio show called New Home, New Life, which has been going since 1993, I think it is. It was originally made in Peshawar by Afghan refugees. So some of the artistic intelligentsia from the university who fled at that time, with the help of BBC Media Action, previously called World Service Trust, BBC World Service Trust, actually set up that programme back then. And then when the Taliban were ousted from Afghanistan in 2002, they all moved lock, stock and barrel back to Kabul. So that's where it's been since then. And again, they have really strong stories, really strong characters that the audience, the listeners, really interact with. And again, to do with really serious problems that are going on in people's lives, reflecting people's lives, but also they have comic characters and a character that was an older guy who could never find a wife, and eventually, and women were getting in contact with the program saying, you can have my daughter, or another woman, or he couldn't find the right outfit for his wedding, and women were sending in materials saying, you know, we'll make your wedding outfit for you. And when a character died because the actual actor was emigrating to Australia, there were, you know, cards sent in and people mourned for the death of the condolence. But it's a very, very strong programme. And it's amazing to see these programmes in action and to record programmes about them and to talk to the actors in them. And, you know, in somewhere like Afghanistan, women can't... women still, it's still very much disapproved of by many of the men in society, that for women's faces to be seen on television or in theatre. And although some do brave that, you will find female newsreels. So, you know, it's a big problem. But radio, because their faces aren't seen, it can be... but not in all families. I mean, I met actresses who would say, okay, their immediate family's okay, but their in-laws that live out in the countryside have no idea that is what they're doing.
At least it is something that they can do and keep hidden.
Yes, to a certain extent. To a certain extent. So, you know, it's tremendously interesting working with the actors, working with the directors, and, you know, it's been a privilege to have an involvement with these programmes.
I would like to
actually get to the point where I could go to a place and actually do that. Because you'll always have your stock characters. There'll always be the Jill Archer, the Phil Archer, the family. There'll always be the Linda Snell character. I mean, there are certain stereotypes.
Lillian is everywhere.
There will always be certain characters that you'll start off with, but there'll be Afghan style or Rwandan style, or instead of having... You know, in Ambridge you've got the pub and the village shop. I mean, you wouldn't have a pub in Afghanistan, but you might have the water pub where people gather and meet. You've always got to have somewhere
to go to the market.
So,
finding that universal.
Yes, so it's been an incredible thing to have this connection with these programs, and I feel passionate about how amazing they've been for the societies and trying to transform people's lives, indeed saving lives in these countries has been amazing.
Well, and also in finding, you know, because nationalism can be such a negative. And I think, you know, with the Archers, you know, in terms of nationalism, it's a benign nationalism.
It is, but I mean, there was a debate recently where I can't remember the detail, but we're talking about the fact that why doesn't politics ever come into the Archers? I mean, I think the thing is that politics will come in with a small p. You know, it's very clear that the Aldridges will probably vote Tory, and it's pretty clear that Pat Archers, yeah, with the organic farm, will be the Guardian leading Labour voters. And who would be the Lib Dems? Well, who knows? Maybe Rockfield Farm. I don't know. But it's, you know, it's interesting what you can and can't bring in. Well, not what you're allowed and not allowed, but what in order to for something to work year in, year out, that you have, there are certain areas that you have to be wary of. But you still have to keep the truth of these things.
Again, but it's reflective.
It
and
is
I don't
reflective.
Think, I don't think actually in most people's lives, rightly or wrongly, that they talk about politics as much as perhaps they should.
Yeah, I think that's that is a good point, and I think that things like at the moment to do with dairy herd management, that there's going to be a huge dairy movement. I mean, if you ever you've had a political situation, that's it.
Yeah.
And you know, Ruth is very much against that, and the Aldridge lot are involved in that, so they're very much for it. And there were many, you know, kind of meetings about that.
Yeah.
So although we're not saying those were political meetings with a big P, they were certainly political meetings, because the whole subject is political.
Yeah.
So I think that happens all the time in the Archers. You have the Grundys, who are quite a poor family. So, you know, you have food banks coming into the Archers, or you have that sense that a family are not being able to make ends meet, and it's really affecting, you know, they've moved back in with their parents, two of the younger characters in it. They've moved back in with the parents. So, you know, all the time you've got, politics is a thing of feminism too. You've got Alice Archer, as I referred to, you know, as the young engineer that is hoping to get a great job. She's bored with the job she's got, and, you know, what that brings up with her relationship, and whether you stay in the family village, where you have strong connections, whether you take risks and, you know, go to another country. You know, all these things are political in their own way, aren't they?
Yeah, in the same way they were talking about feminism, like it's not mentioned, but it's there. And, you know, politics is not mentioned, but it's there in we see it in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd like to contact us, please email us on info@Radio Gorgeous or like us on Facebook or become part of our community. Just sign up your name on our website and we'll send an e-letter to you a few times a month.